You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, we're talking with Marion van Wyk. She's in Amsterdam at the moment. Marion, thank you for being with me today.
Yeah, thank you that you invited me.
It's snowing today in Amsterdam, is that true?
Yeah, it is true because it was a bad wind. It was not a winter at all, and now suddenly it starts to snow. So that's very nice.
I bet it sounds beautiful. So what I want to talk about is what you've been working on and the book. Can you tell us a little bit about the book, how that began, and what it is essentially?
Yeah, okay. Well, it is about the artist Bastian Ader, and I think a lot of people also in America know him. He is a Dutch artist who was born in 1942 during the war, and he wasn't good at school or whatever in Holland. So suddenly he disappeared, and he went on sailing from Morocco to Los Angeles. And there he went to the art school, and he married, and everything seems fine there in Los Angeles. And there, he did all kinds of art, like everybody did, drawing and a little bit writing, and also making a graphic novel. But in, I think, 1969, he started with his thing where he's famous about, and that's The Falling.
69, sorry to interrupt, but that was the Please Don't Leave Me? Please Don't Leave Me, the performance which is the image that I always know of him, of the tears and crying. I mean, that's influenced me a lot.
Yeah,
but that's
a famous one, and that's really, I think, one of the first he made, and it was I'm Too Sad to Tell You, I think. And that's where the tears. And, the tears drops that were falling. But in the same time, he made also the small movies, about falling from the roof in Claremont, Los Angeles. But he also went in that same time to Amsterdam, and there he made Fall 2, and there he went on the bike into the canal, and it was Fall 2.
He rode his bike into the canal?
Into the canal, yeah. It's like, it's a smart movie. You see him on the bike, and then with bike and all, he's just going into the water. Don't you know that one?
Yeah, yes, I do know that one, yes. I just wanted everybody to understand what it was.
What it was, so cool. Yeah.
Kind of another very kind of beautiful image and gesture, and so mm-hmm. go on, yeah.
And that's, I think, there he wasn't very famous and popular in Los Angeles as an artist, but he had a friend, a Dutch friend called Ger van Elk, and he was also Ger van Elk was also many times in Los Angeles, but also in Amsterdam, and he was very good communicator. He also knew Baldessari, for example, very well. And Gilbert and George, and Ger van Elk, and the Arte Povera artist in Italy. So he was really moving around, Ger van Elk, but Bastian Ader stayed first for a lot of time just in Los Angeles. But then when he did this falling into the canal, there was two gallerists from Art and Project. I don't know if that's known, but they introduced him actually in Holland, and then he get here on the big show, in Sonsbeek 71. And in Dutch you say Buiten de Perken, and it was like a very big art event, and then a lot of people, artists were invited from all over the world, but also from Holland, and Bastian Ader was also invited there, and it was an evenement that the show wasn't in a museum, but through all the country. So in outside, in with farms, like Boyce was there, and he had a show on a farm, and yeah, there were a lot of places where people were shown. So you also in Amsterdam, you could see two things, but it was all on one event. And that was the first time that Bosch en Aarde was introduced in Holland.
And that was the beginning of, I would imagine, not necessarily his career, but that was when he was beginning to get very well known, and his works were starting to be shown all over the world. Or what happened there?
No, it was he still was a very small artist between all the others. There were big names in it, but he was a small one, and he went back to L.A. and was waiting actually for a new thing to come. And in Los Angeles, he started with a project called In Search of the Miraculous. That's a photo series that he was walking through Los Angeles as a very lonely person by the highways and parking places and so on. And he ended at the seaside. And that was a part one of a big project that he was working on. And then he could organize 2 years later a show in Holland, in Groningen. And that was part three. But part two, that was a crossover alone in a sailboat from Falmouth, Cape Cod, to Falmouth in England. And that was the third part of this, how do you say it in American? Triple?
Yeah, triple.
There were three parts, triple, you say.
Triple.
So in 1975, he went through all America from L.A. to Cape Cod with his wife in a car and a boat behind him. And from there, he moved away from Chatham, Cape Cod, actually. And he sailed away. And he thought it would take 3 or 4 months, but he never arrived.
And then, so, to be clear about this trip, he was sailing from Cape Cod to he was crossing the Atlantic, correct?
He was crossing the Atlantic to
the Netherlands. He was going to Amsterdam or something, correct?
Yeah, that wasn't not very clear. You know, there was this language game, of course. Falmouth, talking about falling, Falmouth, Cape Cod, Falmouth in England. But actually, he organized a show in Holland, and there he wanted to do a performance. Like walking in Los Angeles, you want to do something in Amsterdam, and he was get a show in the north of Holland. He also got the money for the show, so that was the plan. But he never arrived. But it is not very clear. I didn't get it very clear, you know, if he wanted to go to Amsterdam or Groningen or Bremerhaven in Germany. That was also a possibility. I think it was just, you know, what's going along and what's going on with sailing and where should he arrive, what was the best, you know, during the season. Something
so let's
like
talk
that.
A little bit about that, because this is, of course, his, you know, his death. And, you know, as you're saying, he was lost at sea, and we don't know what happened. Now, you wrote a book about him, and there was so much research, I would imagine, you've done on that.
Yeah.
Was, as I understand, there was also a kind of Spanish naval report. Was that part of your research?
Correct.
Correct. Can you tell us a little bit, because that was new information, right? We'd never heard this before. Here's an artist that is not only loved by so many around the world, but part of what you wrote in your book is, explain to us, if you can, what was in that Spanish naval report.
It took a lot of time to get this thing, this naval report. I went with my partner, Koos Dalstra. I went several times. We were doing first together the research. And we went several times to La Coruña in Spain, because it was told that the boat of Bosch en Aarde was brought to La Coruña in Spain. And then there we talked with Spanish, the Spanish Marine, and with the paper there, La Gazette de La Coruña. And we went to the archives of the town, but we didn't get any information. And then suddenly there was this Manifesta 5 in San Sebastian, and I went there, and there I get connection with a Spanish art historian, Pedro Delano, and he went into the archives and he found the discovery file, so the Spanish Marine report. He get the ball.
Because what happened is, just to be clear to everybody, it was a Spanish vessels that found his boat adrift, floating. A fishing crew or something, right?
Fishing crew. They found the boat. They brought it to La Coruña, and but there, the boat, they have to give it to the official people there, the marine. Everything what you find on the sea, you have to do it like that. But when there was 2 weeks after they gave it to the officials, the boat disappeared again, and then the whole report is completely strange, because it's all about a marine officer. He is writing to all the other harbors in the neighborhood, did you find this boat? And then they have to write back, and it's a completely strange report. But there are some funny things in it, and that is that there are all cards of Bashan from his wallet. Like, he went to sports school and went to the dentist, all these kinds of things. His identity.
Wait a minute, this was information that was because he left his wallet and some other materials on the boat that were retrieved? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they were left on the boat. They also found the sunglasses and the sextant they found on the boat. Yeah, that's what is written down. And it's also what is written is that Mary Sue Anderson and the brother of Bashan arrived at a certain time, to check all the things, but the boat wasn't there anymore. And so they only get some things what was left on the boat, like Mary Sue got the sunglasses and the brother got the sextant. And that was it. And that's all in what's in the book. But this, for me.
And so there was. So the boat was never found. We have no idea where the boat is.
No, the boat was never found. But I get at some time I get a mail, and Mary Sue answered the wife also a mail from some people who call themselves ocean discoverers, ocean wave discoverers, and they were suggesting that they found the boat, with a number and so on. So I didn't believe it very well. So I said, we come to Spain and we will look if there's the boat. But then I didn't hear anything anymore. So it is completely, the boat disappeared. As well as the artist disappeared, and then the boat disappeared as well. That's the funny thing.
It adds so much more mystery to what's happening in his life. It's all the more intriguing. I mean, as you're saying this, you're giving us clues as what may have happened, but then still this big missing piece is so odd that it would just vanish.
Yeah. But it's true. But the funny thing is that I think, a lot of people are saying to me, so, is he dead or what? Or they say, I'm sure it is a suicide. But, you don't know it. That's my thing, You don't know. He just disappeared. And that's what you have to accept. And, I think because we found this marine report, we stopped there with, looking after Bashan, if he's maybe on an island or whatever, or maybe he's somewhere in a little place in Holland again. So we stopped with that kind of searching, but then I stopped. Yeah, actually, I started the research on his life and on his work.
It's fascinating. So then you began doing all this research and on his life and work, and it's wonderful that you've made this book, and of course in the interview people have links so they can hopefully see it and buy it, but what else did you find that was surprising to you in the research? Because of course there has been research done on him before, but yours seems more intensive than most. What else surprised you that you found about his life and work in your research?
Well, the most striking thing for me at the end was that, because everybody's saying, you know, it's so dangerous what he did with going with the boat and, you know, doing this thing. That was his starting of his life, that his father, he was a very, how do you say this in English, adventurous man also. He was
his father was
priest.
A priest. Oh yeah, his father was a that's right. His father was a priest.
Yeah, and he was just married in 1935, and then 1936 he just went on the boat, on the bike. Sorry, he went on a bike and he went biking to Palestine, to Israel. So because, you know, just on his own, and that must be.
Wait a minute. This is what he. This is what his father did, or the
That's
artist?
What his father did. No, what his father did in 1936. He went on the bike and he went through whole Europe, Asia, Turkey, Syria, and then he ended up in Palestine. Because he was a priest, he wanted to see more, you know, about where Jesus lived. You know. You understand? It must be more practical.
Incredible, yeah. Incredible
it
trip.
It was incredible,
that.
Yeah. And it was in the time also that the Nazis started in Germany. So it was also, yeah, a little bit dangerous. There were riots everywhere. And so it was a big, big adventure. And, well, I think it was something in the genes, you know, that Bashar al-Assad had the same thing, you know, this traveling thing. Yeah, a big part of my, I also make maps in my book, so that you could see, that you can see, you know, all, what kind of travels Bashar al-Assad also made. You know, he was for the first time in America in 1960 in Bethesda, Maryland, and when he came back, I think he just stayed for a few months in Holland, and then he went to lifting to Morocco. And then he started again. He went on a boat, but you know he has this kind of restlessness. So he, yeah, this longing to adventure, and that for me was very important. And yeah, besides of that, I was also very interested in the whole thing. You know, what kind of movies could he look to? Which kind of music did he like? You know, like Thelonious Monk, and he was very into jazz. But also, what did he read and his philosophy? So it gives me even more, you know, because about Bashar al-Assad himself, there's not much known because he traveled so much. The father, he died in the war. He was shot by the Germans.
He was executed by the Germans.
Yeah, right.
For sympathizing. And his mother, yeah, tell us a little bit about his mother, because I know she also wrote a.
Mother, she was actually a teacher in English, but she was also very religious. They were saying that she was visionary. But in after the war, during the war, she wrote a book. And in Dutch, it is called Groninger Pastorie in the Storm. So it's the, how do you say it, where a priest is living. And then, you know, the whole exciting thing what was happening there in her house. Because the father of Bashan, he got Jewish people to their place, and where they could, they should supposed to be saved there.
Right, he was helping the Jews
into
a safe house.
Yeah, right. And she got the baby, Bashan, first, and you know, and all this thing was going on, and it was very dangerous actually, because only one or two persons had to say, you know, there was something going on there, and at the end, it happened also, but just before the father was killed, she got another child, the brother. And then he was put in jail at the end, and she had fled also the house because the Germans, they get everything out of the house, and they were told to be traitors because they helped Jews. So it was a very dangerous situation, and that's you can't think about it. You know, that's also the when you're a very young boy, about two, and everything's happening, and that you can feel the excitement and the fear, I think.
Hmm. And his brother, what happened to his brother?
His brother, he went, at the end he was ambassador in Oslo. He loved sailing also, his brother, and he's still alive. And I had interviews with him also by email. This personal story is, of course, it is very heavy. He loved more to talk about, what Bashan, the reading, the books, that's what he liked to talk about.
So the book is completed, and in closing the interview, I just want to maybe talk a little bit about what the kind of impact the book has had. Here's an artist that, is kind of has this extraordinary life. His works are very beautiful and poetic. The ones that I know and are in the minds of probably so many listeners to this show. After the book was published, did you find a lot of enthusiasm for this? Did much more come forward because of the book? I'm asking really about the impact of the book and how it was received.
Well, in Holland, of course, he was already more known now because it was published this year, and because of a show in the Museum Boijmans van Beuningen. I made the book with crowdfunding, and it succeeded, so that's a very good thing. There was a show last year at Gallery Grimm in Amsterdam, and that got a lot of attention, yeah. But there's also this thing going on. There's a process with Mary Sue and the museum, Boijmans van Beuningen. And I got good publicity in the papers and on the radio. I had some more radio talks, and it's going fine. It's going very good. It's in all the shops you can find it, of the musea and so on. So it's going fine. Yeah.
Marion, I know that you also there's a lot of imagery in the book. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I started with this when I started this book. I first look also at all the images I got about the life of Bashan Ader. You know, his personality as a young boy and older, and also when he left from the harbor in Chatham. And I had a lot of photos. But I didn't get a good style of it, because the photos were taken from the internet and from museum through glass and so on. So I started with drawings from Bashan Ader. And so the big thing of the book is also exists from these by these drawings. That's giving, it's a little bit like you're going to a movie. If you go through the book, you can just follow his life by the images also.
Marion, I'm excited that you wrote this book, and I want to thank you for writing this book. And I also want to thank you for talking with me today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.